You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Well, it is the number we've referenced a handful of times on this show, and we hope it remains an even 100, and it's now 11-4-11. But Game 3 has always been the pivotal game in the series since Coach Mike Budenholzer arrived in Milwaukee. The team that has won Game 3 has won that series 100% of the time, 10-for-10 leading up to this semifinal matchup with the Boston Celtics, and the Bucks take the game today 103-101 in a game where their defense shines once again. That has been the story throughout the postseason and especially in this series against the Boston Celtics. Number to get in touch with us today, 844-770-3776. That is the number to join us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices, as the defense shines. Wesley Matthews specifically shining in this victory for the Bucks. Brook Lopez, another guy that was huge, and the way he managed foul trouble. But look, I said this before the game when we had our gathering in Deer District previewing the matchup here between the Bucks and the Celtics. Somebody had asked who's going to lead the team in scoring today, who's going to lead the game in scoring today, and it's not a pat yourself on the back if you think Giannis is going to be the leading scorer in the game, but a few of us had pointed out, you know, he's going to get a 40-point game at some in this series. For all the talk of the Giannis stoppers that the Celtics have, they are certainly the team best equipped to slow him down. But we heard a lot of the same discourse 3 years ago when Al Horford was the Giannis stopper, and we saw how that changed at around three games into the series where Giannis just started to take over and figured out how to attack Al Horford. Think about the possessions today where Al Horford was defending Giannis. He looked very human in those sequences. Now, Al Horford was great for the Celtics today, but it wasn't Al Horford's defense on Giannis that was notable. Robert Williams has been the guy of all the bigs for the Celtics in this series. Robert Williams has been the guy that has struggled the most on Giannis. It has been Grant Williams that has presented the issues for Giannis and the Bucks, and today that was just simply not the case. 42 points for Giannis, sixth career 40-point playoff game, a double-double. Brook Lopez gives you a double-double as well. And this is, all things considered, the margin of victory is just two, but this is an impressive win by Coach Budenholzer's team to go up 2-1 in a series you knew was going to be difficult from the start, approaching this without Chris Middleton. And look, there's no update on Chris. The latest update we got on Chris was there is no update, which we learned on Thursday. The two-week period to be reevaluated, it has come and gone. They will provide further updates as necessary. So you have to continue to approach this series with the mindset that there will be no Chris Middleton. But the Bucks have found, you know, where we do lack the shot creators and the shot makers in the absence of Chris Middleton, we know one thing, and that is we can play defense to this level. And I'm going to go back to one of the things we talked about at halftime. 4-point Celtics lead at the half. A couple of things stood out. Neither team was shooting the ball all that well. And it just felt like as you looked across the stat sheet, for both of these teams, you were wondering, well, what's the difference here? What is allowing the Celtics to be up by four? The Bucks outscored them in the paint, 26-12. Second chance points, relatively even, 7 for the Bucks, 6 for the Celtics. Bucks led by 6 at one point in the half. Celtics took that 4-point lead into halftime. Celtics shot 33%. Bucks shot 39%. Bucks shot 17% on threes. Celtics were 4 of 18. Bucks were 3 of 18. Free throws in the second quarter were the huge difference. Celtics got there in the first half 17 times. 15 of them came in the second quarter. So that was one thing you pointed to. But you said, boy, this feels like the Bucks have really outplayed the Celtics through these first 24 minutes. When you looked at it, I'm going to be curious to see our pals at Shot Quality when they do their deep dive and tell us tomorrow morning, based on the shots taken by both teams, you know, here was the projected score. I'm going to be curious to see what the discrepancy is there when we see that possibly later today, potentially tomorrow. But by their metrics, the Bucks are up 2-0 in this series. You felt like they were getting better looks. They just weren't falling. And it was more of a, just keep doing this, and they're bound to go in. I think that was the approach most of us had coming in there. 3 of 18 at the half, the exact shooting figures the Bucks had for all of Game 2 in this series. And then they went 3 of 7 in that third quarter, which was, you know, as I saw it pointed out by somebody else, maybe the best quarter both ways we have seen the Bucks play, certainly in the playoffs and maybe all season long, when you think about erasing that margin, taking a double-digit lead into the fourth quarter at one point up by 14. The Bucks were really impressive in the third quarter, and everything we said there of, you know, these shots are going to start to fall if you keep working for those good looks. It's exactly what happened. They went from 18 of 46 at the half to 12 of 27 in the third quarter. Three-point shooting was much better. Jrue Holiday detonated in the third quarter, and they kept getting better looks, and their defense kept doing what it did all game long and forcing the Celtics into bad looks. And they're up 2-1 now against the Boston Celtics team that came into this series incredibly cocky, and you are starting to see more of that on social media. Again, the number to get in touch with us today if you want to join us on Bucks Talk, 844-770-3776. The Bucks take Game 3. We keep pointing to 100% of the time since Bud arrived in Milwaukee, the Game 3 winner has won this series. Is it going to be a perfect 11-4-11 now? 844-770-3776. When we return, we'll get to your thoughts on that. And also, there's a couple of areas in this one that really remind me of what we saw last year in the first three games, all the way down to this game, in the first three games of the semifinal series against the Brooklyn Nets. It is deja vu all over again. We'll tell you what we mean after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Bounces it off the backboard, gets his own rebound, puts the shot up, it hangs on the rim, wouldn't go, it's still being tapped in.
Oh my goodness.
It's tapped in, but it was after the horn sound, I believe.
They counted it.
They counted it initially.
Okay, hold up.
All right, it was initially counted, the tip in there by Al Horford. So, look, the play started. We're going to get into this throughout the show, but the play started with Marcus Smart and the call. And I did wonder, and I questioned this to Ben Brust during the timeout of, do you foul? The Bucks are over the limit, so with 10 seconds left, you can foul, put their shooters at the line, use Giannis as your inbounder, and dictate who's going to come on and do the offense-defense switch. You can bring in Grayson Allen, can bring in your trustworthy free throw shooters, and you can just zap this game out in that sense, but it comes down to hitting free throws. Or do you just say, look, it's a Celtics team that today, 9 of 34, 9 of 33 on threes. And by the way, they took 92 threes in the first two games of this series. They took 33 today. Do you say, look, we just, 27% of the time today you hit your three, we don't think this is going to fall in that 27%. And that's exactly how the Bucks defended it. That's, for the most part, what they have done under Coach Mike Budenholzer. And the job that Marcus Smart did, not on the grifting attempt to get three shots, which has been a point of contention we're seeing in the postgame quotes from Marcus Smart, from Ime Udoka as well. But what Marcus Smart did on that second free throw, that is an art form, and that is a skill that is very tough to pull off. You got to catch rim. He got just a perfect amount of it. And that play felt like it took forever. Robert Williams active. Al just had his fingertips on the ball as time expired. So the Bucks survive. But that was huge because the way this game had transpired, to be up 14 at one point in the second half, to feel like you were a couple of possessions away from getting Ime Udoka to wave, I don't want to say the white flag, but just to get the Celtics off their game and push them towards, it's not going to be today. But credit to the Celtics for the way they responded. There were two separate sequences where they came out with a 5-0 run out of a timeout. One took it from 12-7. One took it from 10-5. But even more credit to Giannis, the Bucks, and Drew Holiday for what they were able to do down the stretch. 844-770-3776 is the number to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk today. As always, presented by Gruber Law Offices. And look, I mentioned deja vu all over again. This kind of, to me, felt like what we have seen at times in that series against the Brooklyn Nets last year. Now, the Bucks did not win game one of that series. That's the biggest difference. But that was a game where we saw Marcus Smart go out in the first half of that game. You saw James Harden go out less than a minute into game one against the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn ultimately won the game 115-107. They got a big performance from Blake Griffin, which kind of set the table. And game two really felt like what we saw in game two of our series on Tuesday. That was the game the Bucks at one point trailed by 49. They ended up losing by 39. Kevin Durant was unstoppable. The Bucks looked like they were not playing the same sport as the Brooklyn Nets, and he started to have some serious concerns over where that series was headed. In game two of this series, the Celtics came out energized, and you knew, hey, they got to respond after dropping game one the way they did. They took a 25-point lead into halftime. They hit 23s in the game. Jaylen Brown scored 25 in the first half. They shot close to 50% from the field. They led 65-40 at halftime. Now, since we keep making the comparison, the halftime score, game two between the Bucks and the Nets, was 65-41 Brooklyn Nets. Two games to none, Brooklyn, 1-1 in this series, but it started to feel like you heard this mounting case of support for the Celtics have it figured out. Here come the Celtics. Then today happens. This was a total rock fight game. And look, you can complain all you want about the officiating. And I want to save some of this for a little bit later in the program. You can complain all you want. But to me, the biggest fail by the officiating in this game, and it was bad, make no mistake about it, the biggest fail was they did not control this game. There was no flow. There was no rhythm at all. We saw a lot of this in game one as well. It seemed like the game was officiated differently quarter to quarter. This was a terribly officiated game. And the biggest issue to me was not so much Celtics getting to the line at a much higher rate than the Bucks did. Celtics getting to the free throw line 15 times in the second quarter. That wasn't the issue to me. The issue was how it was officiated, that this was an extremely physical game. And at no point did the officiating step in and say, we're not playing this way. This isn't football. We're not playing super physical. I'm not allowing you to tackle guys. We're going to cut down on some of these charging calls. To me, that was the point of the Coach Budenholzer challenge in the first half. We want to set the tone. This is not a charge. This is a block. This is how you're going to officiate the game for the rest of the way. And it didn't happen. The Pat Connaughton charge. Now, I saw a lot of Celtics fans upset over that. The blocking, what they assumed, call. That is the exact same play Grant Williams made against Giannis. I guess you credit the officials there for being consistent. But I am stunned this game did not get extra chippy in the fourth quarter because there was no control by officiating. It was way too physical. Incidental conduct nonetheless, contact nonetheless, but Bobby Portis coming down with an elbow and Robert Williams and him having to exit. You just had this feeling that something was going to happen. There's going to be an extremely physical play. The Giannis chase down on Jason Tatum, the Grant Williams foul on Giannis. It felt like we were building towards something happening here where one of these two teams or players on the team were going to lose their temper. And to me, That's on the officiating. That was the biggest fail that the officials had in this game. But game three against the Nets last year, that was the rock fight game. That was the game that Drew Holiday won on the horrendous Matador defense by Kyrie Irving down the stretch. 86-83 was the score in that game. Drew Holiday's layup proving to be the game winner there, and Chris Middleton with the free throws as well. But Holiday put the Bucks in front by one with 11 seconds left. Today, Holiday put the Bucks up by three with basically 11 seconds left, and this was certainly what I would classify as a rock fight. So it has the feel of that series last year between the Bucks and the Nets, and of course we know that series went seven games. The only difference so far is the Bucks were able to win on the road early in that series. And the other area where it has that feel, some of these shooting numbers. 9 of 34 today for the Bucks from three. This following the 3 of 18 debacle in Game 2, and in all things considered, pretty good performance at 12 of 34 in Game 1. So you add it all up, the Bucks are shooting 27% on their threes first three games of this series at 24 of 86. The first three games of that series against the Nets were, again, the similarities. Drew Holiday scoring with 11 seconds left. Then in Game 3, Drew Holiday scoring with 11 seconds left today in Game 3. The halftime score in Game 2, all of it. The Bucks in the first three games of that series last year were 20 of 88 on their threes. 23%. So almost to the T, the exact same figures that we saw across the board. This feels like it is ticketed for seven games, and the only thing that's going to sway me from that is if Boston wins here on Monday night. Monday at 6:30 is Game 4, and that is absolutely a must-win game for the Boston Celtics. 844-770-3776, the number to get in touch with us today on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. When we return, we alluded to it, but it has been the discourse out there, certainly from our friends on the East Coast, the way this game was officiated. We'll dive into it after this.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
If I say something, a comment about the ref, is it 20,000? It's a lot of money, eh? So I should not do it. I save my money, I gotta pay for diapers.
Giannis, ever the frugal type, avoiding his take on officiating here, but we have seen takes by the other side. We will get to that in a moment. The number to get in touch with us, 844-770-3776 on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Let's go ahead and grab a call now. Let's talk with Levi in Stevens Point. You're up.
Hello, Justin. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Levi?
Hello? Oh, I'm doing good. Ooh, that game was so cool. Man, that was pretty intense. But before I get to my take, no one's talking about Giannis' shimmy after he passed that ball to Drew Holiday on that fast break. No one's talking about that shimmy he did like in the third quarter. You know?
So, yeah.
Anyway, man. Go ahead.
No, I was just – so what about today and how this Bucks team looked, especially defensively against the team that we have been told is the better defensive team?
Get the rest of it. I'm sorry, say that again.
What
I didn't hear you there. I'm sorry. Oh, today's win?
What do you got to say about today's win?
Well, yeah. I feel relieved. I can tell you that much. So – if we win Game 4, I really expect the Bucks win Game 6. But you know what they say, Justin? You never know what's going to happen because that's why they play the game. So I feel very good about how the Bucks are doing right now. So
yeah, certainly agree. Thanks for the call, Levi. 844-770-3776 is the number to get in touch with us here on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. And we started here by playing the cut from Giannis talking about, I'm not going to talk about officiating because I quite frankly would like to hang on to that $20,000 or so dollars. And Greg Matzik joining us on the scene now here. And that's basically, from what I can gather, what we've seen the most of coming out of this game is The team that somehow got to the free throw line more, had fewer players in foul trouble, took 15 free throws in the second quarter, and played a team that has Giannis, and still shot more free throws in the final 15 minutes of the game than said team. That is the team that so far is very vocal and complaining about the officiating throughout this game.
First of all, I don't suppose you've ever had to buy diapers, Justin.
I have not.
Unless there's like an adult thing you want to get into during a break. Diapers are expensive. I get it, right? You do the Costco thing. You do the delivery thing. They're expensive.
Would you say you bought $20,000 worth of diapers?
It sure feels like it.
You're okay.
I feel like I spend that much a week on daycare, but nonetheless. It's exactly what I would expect Boston Celtics fans to do. They bitched and moaned their ways through game one and two. I was in Boston. I heard it. I heard all the mother effers that went in Giannis's direction. I heard everything before he even took the floor. So I get it. That doesn't surprise me coming from the Boston fans. What are you expecting here, right? That's kind of their deal. I am amazed that the Bucks did not attempt a single free throw in the fourth quarter. The last free throw the Bucks took was at the 4:33 mark of the third. And Boston had 17 attempts. I had to look at the play-by-play like three times. Am I counting this right? Am I missing like an and one free throw that was? Nope. The Celtics had 17 attempts from the 4:33 mark of the third quarter through the rest of the game. The Bucks had zero. And the Bucks have Giannis, a guy who lives at the free throw line. So take your officiating, kick it to the curb, whine and complain, bitch and moan all you want, Celtics fans. Your team lost. You lost a hard-fought game, but I agree with what you said earlier. It felt like this could get out of hand, and I know you're a WWE guy. It kind of had some my mistake, but it had kind of some of those undertones to it. Just physical and pushing and shoving, and you know you got to be able to get control of a series. We understand that the playoffs are more physical, but I guess you go into Game Four thinking that it's going to go a lot like Game 3 did, and we've really not seen an offensive explosion aside of a couple of quarters, maybe, in a game so far this series. So expect more of the same, I guess.
So that was it to me of there was no control over this game. It was way too physical for the officials to let it get there. And there's one thing to be said of, hey, let them play. It's the playoffs. But you also have to dictate, nah, we're not doing this. And I thought they had a couple of opportunities throughout the game, but to see some of the conversation over mischarges and you know lack of foul calls and the Marcus Smart thing down the stretch, I didn't see the replay yet. I remember in real time, like, that was close. But, I mean, if you're complaining that there were missed charges and your gripe is the Pat Connaughton play that was called a block or called a charge instead of the block, it was the exact same play Grant Williams made on Giannis that was also called a charge. And that was what Bud challenged, which I thought was basically, we're making sure this is not a charge, and this is not how this game is going to be played. And the officials just said, hold my beer. We'll make sure this is how this game is played.
Right. I did not hear from Ime Udoka or Marcus or anybody who spoke in the Boston side. I was in the Bucks kind of team media auditorium area. I'm guessing Marcus Smart was asked if he felt like he should have had three free throws.
He did, and he was.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, wasn't he facing the scorers table? Like, was he even looking at the hoop at that time? Like, and Bud put it very succinctly. Tried to do the Kevin Durant sweep through and didn't work. No way should that have been a shooting foul. It was a non-shooting foul, which prompted the activity we saw at the end of the game, which, I don't know, was the longest 4.6 seconds of the day. I asked Drew Holiday about that, and he seemed a little miffed that Marcus could get off the free throw line and get the ball as fast as he did, and that three shot attempts happen in a 5-second span. Felt like that was a lot of time, maybe a little more time than should have been allocated during that stretch. But that's a crazy frenetic finish, and I'm sure time very much felt like it stood still as you're battling for a rebound that you just can't get your hands on.
I'm trying to find the Ime Udoka comments because it was very much what you would expect. And we saw after the game, Ime Udoka was, I think, incensed is the only way to put it, that he was lighting up the officials afterwards. They were very, very upset with the way this game was officiated, which just absolutely stuns me for a team.
Yeah, look at the free throw line stat. What's the matter with you?
Advantages everywhere. Again, the big one to me is the second quarter, where they got to the line 15 times in that second quarter. They took twice as many free throw attempts as the Bucks. They committed fewer fouls than the Bucks, And the Marcus Smart thing is what they're pointed to. Well, this should have been three free throws. I mean, there are a handful of things both teams can point to. But the Celtics did not lose this game because of the officiating. The Celtics lost this game because they came in very cocky after taking care of the Brooklyn Nets. And look, there was a significant portion of fans that thought, boy, that's not the team you want to face in the first round. And I think the way I put it was, I don't want to face Kevin Durant in the first round. If I can avoid that, I will. But that's not a good team in Brooklyn. And you know, it's pretty clear this Celtics team just manhandled that Nets team, which is a soft team. Jason Tatum was physical with Kevin Durant. I mean, not that Kevin Durant is the softest guy in the league. He's not a physical player. He's a finesse scorer. Kyrie Irving is in the same regard there. And it's a soft finesse team. And the Celtics were able to bully them around a little bit. And we kept hearing, we're the tougher team. We're the physical team. And then at the first point of a roadblock, they're complaining that the opponent is too physical. When your whole being defensively is, we're the tougher team. We can switch on everything. We're physical. We're tougher than the Nets. We're going to show the Bucks we're a tough team too. And then as soon as the Bucks show, hey, we're actually the tougher team, and we're going to be more physical, it's the Celtics say, well, that's a foul.
Yep.
You can't do this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bucks were, what, 3 of 18
in game two from three? They were 3 of 18 at halftime.
I was going to say 9 of 34 isn't a heck of a lot better percentage-wise, but at least he saw the ball go through the net a little bit more with a little more frequency. But the Celtics were a disaster from three. They were a disaster from two. Jason Tatum was a mess today. I mean, it was kind of the Al Horford and Jaylen Brown show once again. With some tough, hard-nosed play by some of their other, you know, fringe players. And when I say fringe, I don't mean to shortchange Marcus Smart, but he's not a significant scoring threat.
But Al Horford was great today, too.
He's great. No, he was.
To me, that was one of my biggest questions coming into this. Al Horford looked great against the Nets. Great. But I don't trust that. And he's been incredible so far this series.
Well, I think... So Horford, to me, is a guy in this series, it's kind of like Grayson Allen. Like, you might get the blow-up game. Like, 27 against the Bulls, that's great. It's hard to rely on that every night from Grayson, from Al. And that's why stars need to be stars. And tonight, Giannis was the best player in the building, and he showed that. And, the Celtics may have had the second and third best player in the building, but they were all trumped by Giannis. Of course, he had 30 field goal attempts from Jrue Holiday. I would not have expected that coming into tonight's game. Still been kind of a slow go here for Brook Lopez, but he was a little more involved today, which I think is good. What I think the Bucks have learned here, Justin, is that it's not going to be easy at all, but I think the Bucks do have a feeling they can win this series without Chris Middleton. I don't know if they can win a title without Chris Middleton, but I feel like the belief in that locker room is they can win this series without Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. And I do think they miss him. I really do, because sometimes you just need another dude who can get a bucket. And the shooting percentage from Giannis ended up being about 50%. But it still felt like a little bit of the struggle bus early. Game 1 and 2 were kind of like that as well. Sometimes you need a dude who can get a bucket. And Chris can definitely do that. And you're going to miss that at some point, I think, in this series. And maybe they did in Game 2.
Yeah, I don't want to shortchange Giannis or doubt Giannis, but I don't think they can win a championship without Chris Middleton when you look at what's in front here and specifically in the Western Conference. But I think you can make it – look, you can make a strong case Jrue Holiday was the second-best player on the floor today. I mean, Al Horford is in the conversation, but we said at the start of this series, you don't have Chris Middleton. There was a lot of doom and gloom, and I thought a couple of things that were ridiculous were – I saw a lot of Celtics in five predictions coming into this series, which I just don't see this team with Giannis losing a series in five games anymore. And after the Bucks won, you just as we said, the Celtics were cocky. Saw a lot of confidence, on the timeline from Bucks fans. This is going to be a sweep.
Yeah.
So neither of those were going to happen. I think we're in for a long series from the start here, and you know. The only way we're not getting that is if the Bucks win on Monday. If they win Monday, I think this is going five, and they're just going to be the tougher team and close it out. But if the Celtics do what the Bucks did, I think we're going to seven games if each team splits in the road venues here through the first four games of this series. But Jrue Holiday was so good in the third quarter, and that might be the best quarter we've seen from the Bucks all season. He's been so good for these first three games overall. When you said, You don't have Chris. Somebody else has to step up. He has stepped up every single game, and he's hit big shots and made big plays. And the other thing of, well, Giannis has to be the best player on the floor for them to win this series without Chris. As if that's like a stretch.
Yeah, two-time MVP. I don't know, man.
The best player in the league is going to have to be the best player in the series through seven games for them to win it. And that's what we've seen. I just go back to after today. I know this isn't the series, but after today, I think if you're the Celtics, you have a lot more questions than the Bucks do. And I think that's part of why you're hearing them lashing out at officiating, and the referees are what cost us the game, and we didn't get calls, and this was the wrong call, and we're not going to blame officiating, but we're, you know, passive-aggressively blaming officiating. That this just went two games in this series. The Bucks have been able to dictate how this is played, and really, I would go even further than that. We've had three halves played in this series. Six halves played in this series. For five of those six halves, the Bucks have said, this is how we're playing. It was the first half in game two where the Celtics just hit contested shots. That was the biggest difference. You look at the wide open looks, the numbers were almost identical to game one. It wasn't those that was killing the Bucks. It was Jaylen Brown with a guy draped on him hitting a shot. And that's what would be concerning to me if I'm the Celtics, is throughout the course of this game and in the third quarter of game two, the Bucks seemed to find easier offense than the Celtics did, and it was a lot of Giannis as the roller and setting the screen, and that two-man game with he and Drew Holiday, we've yet to see the Celtics make a stop on that. So if I'm Boston, that's what has me concerned is, wait a minute, we know it's going to be a defensive series, but they're getting into their offense a lot easier than we are. And the other constant through this series, half-court offense has been bad for both teams, and the Bucks has actually been worse than the Celtics. But the Bucks have been lethal in transition, and the Celtics have not. So that's the other concerning thing for me if I'm the Boston Celtics.
Bucks are in an advantageous position. I don't know if the stat has come out, and you'll give me a better indication, but just from a look and feel perspective, it felt like the quality of looks for the Bucks in that first half, I felt like it was a high quality of good looks, but a low percentage of good looks made. It's kind of what it felt like to me. There's a handful of times, but by and large, you've seen a shot go up saying, it's a good look, you got to take it. Like, you didn't have that sense that they're rushing things. They're not settled. They're just, half-court stagnation.
Yeah.
I like the way they built their offense in that first half, but I don't think the field goal percentage, and certainly the scoreboard, didn't reflect the kind of looks they were getting.
Yeah, it has not come out yet on shot quality, but that's going to be what I'm curious to see is, this feels like, so just to set the table with that, the final score in game one, do you remember offhand what that was?
Oh, what was it? 101-87, 101-89.
Right.
There you go.
Okay. So, the report from shot quality had the Bucks still winning, but it was closer. I think it was like 103-97 or 103-98. For game two, where the Bucks were down 25 at halftime and run off the floor in a game that felt very, very similar to game two against the Nets last year, it was 50-50.
Sure.
You know what? I mean, the Celtics just hit tough shots in the first half. Other than that, either way, this could have gone. I would imagine the shot quality would have this as an 8-10 point Bucks win.
Okay.
Not more.
Yeah.
Because when you left at halftime, or entered halftime, I should say, and you looked at Celtics are up four, I feel like the Bucks have been better in just about every area, and they've gotten better looks. Like, how are they losing this game? And couldn't figure it out for the life of us, looking through, like, okay, they're winning points in the paint. I mean, Celtics have hit one more three, and really I think the big difference was they got to the free throw line 15 times in the second quarter.
Yeah, well, it was 50-46 at the half, and I guess my takeaway at that point was more frustration that Giannis picked up a stupid foul with under a minute to go in the half, and Lopez was on the sidelines with foul trouble. You know, you're looking at the change to the starting lineup. Hard to say that worked today. Sometimes you make a change to make a change. They decided to go a little smaller with Grayson Allen instead of Bobby Portis, bring Bobby off the bench, fine. Neither really had a signature performance, so I don't know if you stick with that if you're Mike Budenholzer. You won the game. You built a 14-point third-quarter lead. But I'll be curious to see if he goes back or if he stays with what he had today. the entrance of George Hill into the series can, I think, at some point perhaps pay dividends. He just kind of organizes activity maybe a little better than Javon Carter. So you're still missing a big piece here, but, you know, they've tinkered around a little bit, and ultimately it was hectic, but it paid off today.
The George Hill piece is huge. Actually, I want to get into that and the lineup, too, because I'm genuinely curious how they will approach the starting five moving forward in this series for one of the reasons we hinted on just a moment ago. 844-770-3776, the number to get in touch with us today on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. We'll take a look at the starters. What should you expect in Game 4 on Monday after this?
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
All right, the Bucks take Game 3 today against the Celtics in a thriller, 103-101. And as we have pointed out a number of times, previous 10 series coached by Bud in Milwaukee, because it's a lot different in Atlanta, but in Milwaukee, the team that's won Game 3 has won that series 100% of the time. Saw a different starting lineup today. Grayson Allen there in place of Bobby Portis and him coming off the bench. Now, I don't have it in front of me, and I'm trying to look up what the numbers were, but I do know coming into Game 3 today, when the Bucks played their jumbo lineup of Giannis and Bobby and Brooke together, those numbers were not as good with that trio on the floor as it was with Giannis and Brooke or Giannis and Bobby. So in this series, it's been 3-3, I don't know, but 2-3, that's where you start to find some success. And I think we kind of saw the opposite today. I mean, Grayson Allen just he couldn't get going. And I think the big advantage he had in Game 1 was the Celtics overhelped and they doubled Giannis, and if you're going to leave him open, he's going to hit open shots. Today, the Celtics kind of did a hybrid of how they defended Giannis in each of the first two games, but Grayson just couldn't get going. And I do wonder if, you know, especially if you win on Monday, I wonder if the play isn't to just say, we're going back to that lineup and we're just going to say, we're bigger than you. We're more physical, we're stronger, and we're going to dictate everything.
Yeah, I think you try and go to the foundation of the move, right? Is there a philosophical reason that Grayson Allen started in place of Bobby Portis? And on the very surface, 30,000-square-foot view, it's you go small instead of going big. And then it's Brook and Giannis as your 4 and 5, and you've got three guards on the lineup. We've seen a lot of the 3 and 4-guard lineup at times. And that's been effective. And it's harder to go to the four-guard lineup, I think, against Boston than it was against Chicago. We haven't seen as much of it in this series through three games. So is there a philosophical reason? And if you feel so strong about your philosophy, I think you run it again. I don't know if a one-game test is enough to prove your theory and philosophy right or wrong either way. Obviously, if Grayson blows up and has 15 today and he's, you know, 4 of 6 from three. Hey, all right, that seemed to work okay. But neither one of the players had a standout offensive day, and they still always find a way to get mixed up in the things on defense. But I don't know if you look at today's result and alter your opinion or philosophy, Justin. I think you maybe stay with it one more time and then perhaps adjust from there. I feel like it's you're rushing to judgment with a thumbs up or thumbs down on the move.
And
he got a win.
Yeah, and I saw just real quick here a couple of comments coming out from Boston. Al Horford saying, need to do a better job taking care of the ball and making the Bucks play half-court defense, which I think is the opposite of what they would want here. Marcus Smart thought it was a foul on a three-point attempt.
Oh, sure.
The other one to me was Ime Udoka saying, not happy with some of the calls late. I'll teach my guys to flop a little bit.
Jeez.
So that's the – I mean, look.
Oh, God, of course. When the game after the game.
When that's what's coming, though, from your head coach, and your immediate is, we blame the officials for this. And it wasn't a blatant end-of-game play where it was, how do you not call that? I mean, you can point to the Marcus Smart thing all you want, but I haven't seen the replay yet. I remember in real time it was, either way, I suppose. But this wasn't a he was tackled and there was no call. Like, if that's the case, you can blame the officiating. But when your immediate move is the officials really cost us this game, that does not bode well to me for the remainder of the series.
Yeah, how about not being able to stop Giannis in the second half? Or, you know, scoring, what did they have, 17 points in the third quarter? God, they had 17 points within 5 yeah. minutes of the fourth.
19 in the first, 17 in the third.
That's crazy.
The quarters were the problem for the Celtics.
Yeah, well, certainly they were. And, you know, look at your performance then and, you know, try and navigate the waters of your rough patches of play today. But whatever, you do you. Try and set a tone for next game if you want. But, I mean, neither team is coming out of this game saying we're unscathed. Boy, both teams felt it yeah. today. The free throw line discrepancy we talked about. The shooting percentages are not good. This had all the flow and rhythm of like an eighth grade dance. It's just, it was chaotic and it just took long and things were being challenged and looked at in the monitors. And that's the playoffs. And you get real defense being played, and today was a little more, it was a little more than real defense being played. It was definitely some more bumping, I think, than usual, even in this series.
The Bucks outlast. The Celtics take a 2-1 edge and can take firm control of this series Monday night for Game 4. We'll wrap up the show after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
The Bucks outlast the Celtics here at Game 3 at Fiserv Forum in Game 3 and take a 2-1 edge. Again, you cannot state it enough. 100% of the time since Coach Bud has arrived in Milwaukee, the Game 3 winner has won that series. 10-4-10. My thanks to everybody for hanging out here for the last hour in Madison. My thanks to Hunter for producing the program as well. We will be back here again Monday night. Remember, it's a 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when the radio network coverage begins. And, of course, Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices afterwards on these stations. We'll talk to you Monday. Talk presented by Gruber Law.